Always Worth Seeing's car review, a 2020 BMW 3. BMW drivers have a reputation. The reason for this is because they deserve it. The reason for that is because of the cars. Do not judge. You would be the same. I certainly was behind the wheel of my brand spanker, 1500 miles on it, 20 plate 320i. Lucky to be alive, I ran out of dual carriageway on a Trans-Pennine A-road, racing past lorries and lesser mortals. A very Beamer driver thing to do. I had joined the tribe via burning rubber on hatchings, although briefly. As for the car, in photographs you may or may not like the look. In real life, sitting on your drive, it is beautiful from every angle. It has a huge boot. Remember when the 3 Series were so tiny that they were nicknamed Baby Beamers? This one looks massive. Baby no longer. It is a strapping, handsome, athletic lad. It will do 300 miles on half a tank. It handles beautifully. It drives and corners very, very well. It is nippy and fast. It will bring out your inner dickhead. But it is not perfect. Mine was an automatic with an irritating electric gear change. A mechanical, a lever which moves between set positions, would be better. With the electric, you have to apply the foot brake, press an unlock button on the side of the gear stick, and tap it forwards or backwards to change the setting. The actual stick returns to the same position, no matter what. There's no way of telling what it's in unless you look at the very small writing next to the stick. There may be a way of getting it to show permanently on the dashboard. This is just a nuisance. It is much easier with a mechanical gear stick. You can tell where an old-fashioned stick is just by putting your hand to it while looking at the road ahead. You can also change, park is at the top, drive at the bottom, without really thinking about it. There is no park on the Beamer. You have to click a button at the back of the top of the gear knob to engage the parking brake. This is a confusing nonsense and nowhere near as good as the old way. I just sat with my foot on the brake all the time. Likewise, the air conditioning climate control is a mass of buttons which are too small. They are rocker style, which makes the different options even smaller. Air conditioning climate control should consist of 3 dials: temperature, fan speed and direction. Windscreen, body or feet. Even worse, rather than being light or even illuminated symbols on a dark background, they are different bright colours on silver. Ah! On this driver's hot sunny day trip, the aircon needed constant distracting fiddling with. Another no-no was the seat adjustment. You pump it up with a lever and then release it. With no graduations in between, it just hits you in the back and sticks. This belongs to a Dacia Sandero. Electrically adjustable seats required. With a lot of negatives out of the way, what's it actually like to drive? It is keyless. There is an engine start-stop button. Apply the foot brake before you press it. The main dials are excellent: fuel, speed, revs, temperature. They are nice to look at and easy to understand. Below them, various stats, fuel economy, range and the like. There is also a little white circle within a red border, as if a road sign, telling you the speed limit. It is often wrong. Let's call it advisory. The actual display doesn't contain real dials. It is a GUI, a graphical user interface. At times, little squares and texts may also appear on it. To the left, an iPad thing, nicely integrated into the dashboard, rather than being slapped onto it. Letterbox shaped, its menus are easy to use. I keep the map up and listen to the radio. How do you turn the radio to AM? Can you turn the radio to AM? Am I showing my age again? Let's go somewhere. If you're new to all of this, I am, then there is a bewildering array of buttons and sticks. The turning indicators are intuitive to use and on the left-hand side of the steering column. Likewise, on the right-hand side, windscreen wipers and screen wash. The wipers are completely quiet, but don't actually clean the windscreen. Insect splats and bits of bird remain. Regarding the bewildering buttons, click anything with auto written on it. I found 4 and pressed them all, assuming that the car would thereafter sort of drive itself. Check those big and easy to adjust wing mirrors, which tuck themselves out of harm's way when you get out and lock the doors. Check a strangely dark rear view mirror. Can that be adjusted? Stab the accelerator and away we go. The car is very responsive. It lets you know when you've touched the accelerator. It handles very well indeed. It is a joy to drive. The seats are extremely comfortable. The driving position is nice. Visibility is excellent. Your reviewer is Mr. Average. Average height, average weight. Everything in the world was designed for him to use, which helps. The automatic transmission is completely seamless, unless you stab the accelerator, in which case it jumps through the gears smartly and tips you towards hyperdrive. I'm not sure what the seats are made of, certainly not leather or fabric or plastic. Is there a synthetic leather these days? If so, I've sat on it, and very comfortable it is too. The 2-litre petrol engine is fast. There's a good, very good story of the late Jim Clark, the quiet Dunn's Formula One racing car champion. A modest natural, half a lap after red lights had turned to green, he would look in his mirrors and whisper under his breath, "Why is everybody behind me?" You are now his brother. You will hear yourself asking, "Why is everybody going so slowly? Why are they all in lanes 1 and 2 while I'm over here on my own?" But the ride is not perfect. The suspension can be bumpy. You will know what kind of a surface you are driving on. If you are on a very smooth, level, dry road, then the suspension will invent a few bounces for you. I don't care what the back seat is like. I always sit in the front. It looked roomy enough, but not over generous. My backseat passenger's comments suggested that the suspension felt worse in there. The ride can be adjusted. Have a fight with the buttons and menus. The car is beautiful to look at. Nice girls will smile at you. You will pull, but not my daughter. It cuts through the air in perfection. There is no pull on the steering wheel when passing a big lorry, but there is a lane alarm which tugs on the wheel if you're straying. This is very annoying, as you might want to stray out of the lane. It even happens when filtering into a new lane. There's probably a way of switching it off. Have another fight with those buttons and on-screen menus. There's an eco drive that I didn't use. No doubt this would have squeezed out more fuel efficiency. Bear in mind, I also had the air conditioning belting away. On my 300-mile round trip on A roads, motorways and Hull Town Centre, twinned with Thunderdome, we stuck at 37 miles per gallon. On the same route, a big old E-class estate with a smaller engine had similar fuel efficiency. A Seat Ibiza, about 15 miles per gallon more. Yes, I know. That's why I hired a BMW for the day. Speaking of hiring a car, I must briefly write a possible injustice. Some online thrifty car hire reviews would make our old friends at Shenzhen White Knuckle Airlines blush. There was an announcement in Chinese, and everybody else started to scream. Thrifty were very good with me. 5 stars. The 320i makes various daft noises whilst being locked and unlocked. There may be a way of switching them off. They draw unnecessary attention to the car, meaning that, in Hull, you will have to stand and guard it while your companions do their business. This will make you feel very important. I've no idea what the cost of ownership might be. I suppose residuals will be decent and servicing costs high. It is insurance group 30-ish, partly because people will be tempted to steal it and partly because of the way that you will be tempted to drive it. My Seat is group 1. I lose more money down the sofa every year than I spend on car insurance. And drive it you will, for fun, for the sheer joy of being able to. If you hate driving, you probably don't. You just have the wrong car. Hire one of these for a day and super boost your confidence. It will rewire your brain and associate roads with pleasure. Like me, you will return to your own crappy car with a zest for tarmac and white lines. You will drive a 320i for pleasure. You will have unnecessary spins. You will leave the front door of your house wide open as you are led towards the drive in a trance. I certainly was. It is beautiful to drive. It is beautiful to drive. What about the competition? The only one I've driven recently was a Mercedes C-Class 2017. Beautiful to look at, a horror behind the wheel. It lurched through corners, it bounced about, the suspension was too hard, it had an iPad nailed on top of the dashboard. I got a whistle out of the closed windows on the motorway, the driving position was too cramped, the automatic gear change was on the steering column like Rock Hudson and Debbie Reynolds' station wagon. You changed by twiddling the stalk around. Park was somewhere else. No thanks. The old PRND lever above the drive shaft was much better. I couldn't believe that somebody would pay $30,000 plus for one. Knocked out to a price in South Africa. Avoid. Am I right in saying a Mercedes is the older the better? At 35K, would I buy a 320i? No. Would I let somebody else buy one for me? No. The electric automatic transmission control was too disappointing. Likewise, the air conditioning, climate control. It needs electrically adjusted seats. At times, the suspension is not great. It is beautiful to look at and wonderful to drive. But for me, some over-fussy and difficult-to-use controls let it down.